Resuming the recording. Welcome everyone to the ballot proposal Q&A session. Today is Saturday, March 7th, and we're very excited that you're joining us early this morning to ask and get answers to some questions you might have about 16 of the proposals on this year's ballot. I'm going to invite you all. My name is Karen. I'm a gratefully recovering adult child, and I serve as chair of the ballot prep committee, and I invite all of you to join me in a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Do I have a volunteer who would like to read Tradition One for us?
I can do that. My name is Sue. I'm an adult child. Tradition one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on ACA unity.
Thank you so much, Sue. Just a quick reminder, we are recording this presentation and it will be made available on the BPC website on acawso.org/BPC. The recording from our session on March 1st is already posted there. And if you want to use transcriptions and captions, those are available in the Zoom. I would like to welcome you this morning on behalf of the Ballot Prep Committee. We are thrilled to be able to offer these Q&A sessions. They are somewhat different from what we've done in the past because we've received a large number of proposals this year. As most of you are likely aware, the ballot process is the way for member meetings to bring concerns to the fellowship for consideration at the ABC. So proposals are submitted, presented to the fellowship for voting, and the fellowship votes on which of these proposals to add to the agenda of the ABC. And so it's been exciting to be part of this process for the last number of years and to chair the committee for the last 2 years and to just see how the process is evolving as our fellowship continues to evolve and as we get new ideas on how to move things forward. I would like to invite Tamara P., our board chair and also a member of the committee, to say a few words as well.
Thank you. Can you hear me? Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining this ballot proposal Q&A session. These sessions are an opportunity for members and delegates from around the world to ask questions and seek clarification about the proposals that will appear on the conference agenda. The discussion of the ballots at ABC is one of the key ways that we hear from the fellowship, and it's an important part of how our group conscience is expressed at the global level. That discussion allows everyone, all the delegates, to ask questions, hear multiple perspectives, and consider how would it be implemented before they vote, just to be sure. Today's session, as Karen said, is meant to support an understanding of the proposals and to give space for questions in a spirit of unity, respect, and shared service. This step helps ensure that decisions at the ABC are made with full information and thoughtful group conscience. And with that, I'll turn it back to Karen.
Thank you, Tamara. I just want to mo take a moment to acknowledge the committee members, most of whom are here this morning. You might notice that we flagged our names by adding BPC at the beginning, standing for Ballot Prep Committee. But if you would like to raise your hands just so that you rise to the top of the queue and people can acknowledge you. Kathleen is not able to be here as far as I know, but we have Mary Jo, Pam M, Sue V, and Tamara P as members of the committee here with us this morning. And welcome to all of you, and thank you so much for the work that you've put in to support the ballot process in the last couple of years. Here's a quick overview of the agenda. We'll take a quick look at the 16 proposals we have on the table for today. We'll talk about how the point of information process works, the Zoom guidelines that are probably well familiar at this time. We'll go over what the discussion format is, and a gentle reminder about how we like to interact with each other. And then we will dive in one proposal at a time with Q&A, offering you the opportunity to ask questions on each proposal. Then we'll hopefully have some time at the end to answer some questions about the ballot process if you have any. We have five groups presenting here today, including the proposal that was submitted by the ballot prep committee. We have proposals on the topics of the ballot proposals, ballot process, conference structure, literature, operations, and service and governance. So we're covering a broad range of topics, and we've decided to go through this one group at a time because there might be interactions between the proposals of one group, and we want to give you all the opportunity to highlight that in your questions. I would like to invite Tamara to explain how the point of information works.
Yes, I'm here representing the board and any kind of factual information that I can bring, given, that we may know things that are behind the scenes. I have other esteemed board members with me. Al E, Jim R, and Sue V are here to help me answer any questions. If I have a point of information, which is strictly clarification, I will raise my little green check mark to say that I have a comment, and that's it.
Thank you, Tamara, and thank you for your service.
Thank you.
So we ask that you raise your Zoom hand to speak during Q&A times. Chat is only available with Zoom hosts, and please mute your audio when not speaking and turn off your video if you're moving around because that can be very distracting. We do not Forgot to correct this after last week's session, but we do not have presentations, so there will not be the only slideshow to present will be our general slideshow. And I just want to address the format of this discussion. Our purpose today is to offer members and member groups the opportunity to get your questions answered about proposals on the ballot. We do ask that you ask one short question at a time. And if you have a follow-up question, please raise your hand a second time. We had a bit of a conversation about that in the committee, and it is tempting to go back and forth between a question asker and the question answerer, but that really takes the conversation out of a group. And we want to engage the entire group. And so if you do have a follow-up question, please raise your hand a second time. It is entirely possible that your follow-up question might be asked by another participant in the discussion. And we do also ask that you don't ask questions twice, just to be respectful of everybody's time. We also ask that you do not debate the merits of placing proposals on the ABC agenda. This session is purely for the purpose of getting good and solid information from the proposing groups about the proposal that they submitted, and not to have debate about the merits of placing the proposal on the ABC agenda. And just keep your comments brief, both the people asking questions and the people answering questions. Keep your comments brief. We trust the process that through the multiplicity of questions asked, the broadest information will become available to everybody here this morning. And then please also just show courtesy towards others. Be patient. English is not everyone's primary language. Don't avoid using slang or acronyms. Those can be very difficult for English as a second language speakers. Focus on using I and me statements. Avoid saying you, they, we. Be honest and clear, and remain gentle and compassionate. and acknowledge problems, focus on the intentions and the solution. Be willing to be uncomfortable and challenged, and be willing to listen and learn. And be mindful of everybody here. I want to see how many people we have. We have, what, 26 people here on the Zoom right now? 28. So be mindful of everybody. Be gentle with everyone. That's one of the core tenets of our program. And with that, we will move into the Q&A on our first proposal on the agenda, which is from Web 0815, Proposal 2026-19. And I am going to turn over the screen sharing to Mary Jo for this portion of the discussion. Thank you so much. And we have the issue of the proposal on the screen. Mary Jo, would you be able to go to the slideshow function? Just that makes it a little bit larger for everybody to read.
Yes.
Thank you. And we are happy to take questions on this proposal. It seems like there are no questions. I'm just going to give it a few more seconds before we move on to make sure. William, please go ahead.
I seem to be having a problem finding it on page 247. Can somebody tell me what the section name is?
Katarina, can you respond?
Yes, it's the ninth step, and it's the amend example. In my
Nice.
book, it was page 247.
Okay.
Thank you, William.
Thank you.
Josh, do you have a question for Katarina?
Yeah, I was going to say, could we, does somebody have a digital copy of the Big Red Book so we could like pull it up and I'll just stare at it for a second?
Unfortunately, that's not really a possibility within the format that we have developed for questions and answers.
It's
Sue, please
actually
go
on
ahead.
page 244.
So
In the
William is
new.
clarifying the section in question is on page 244, and I'm going to call on Sue for your next quest for the next question.
Hi, my question is, does it make sense to change the wording before we've authorized the literature it changes themselves for the Big Red Book? Am I thinking?
I'm sorry, I'm not sure I understand the question. English is not my first language, so can you clarify or
Well, my understanding is that we are in the middle of revising the Big Red Book with a committee. Am I right? So my question is, should we wait until the appropriate time before we start to change more wording? Why are we getting permission before it's already ch revised? Am I saying it right?
I don't think I have answer for this.
Thank you, Sue. Thank you, Katarina. I'm going to call on Pam next.
Well, in a similar fashion, I mean, as huge as that Big Red Book is, I'm sort of curious as to why one sentence is being chosen, and I, what is it that made this stand out for you?
Well, I have a few arguments, if you could say that, because I think that if ACA wants more members and more newcomers, maybe if you make amends to somebody, then you mention ACA program, and then this person you're making amends to may become interested in this program or could spread the word about this program. So that's like the main reason I would like this sentence to be changed. I hope I understood your question correct.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you,
Thanks.
Pam. Thank you, Katarina. We're going to take two more questions on this proposal and then we'll have to move on. Kelly.
Mine's a very simple question. What I'm seeing is what you want to do is simply drop everything after behavior. Is that correct?
I want to change this. Currently, it says that I am involved in a program in a,
Okay.
which I'm learning to change my behavior
Okay,
and
so.
so on. So, the way we would like to put it is I am involved in the ACA 12-step recovery program so
I
that
see. You're
the
adding that.
program name will be
I see.
mentioned then.
Okay, thank you. That was it.
Yes. Thanks.
Thank you, Kelly. Next question, last question on this segment is going to be from Patricia.
Yes, I found the actual quote in the English translation of the Big Red Book, and it is on page 242. And the context is, during an amends, we might say, I'm involved in a program in which I'm honestly learning to change my behavior. So I just wanted to clarify that is, first of all, it is a suggestion. So yeah, we could certainly, do something, but I guess I'm saying the page number is page number is 242. I don't know that anybody's ever going to actually say the exact words when they're making their amends. Oh, that's a merits question. Sorry.
Thank you for
Heard
clarifying
three
that,
different
Patricia.
page numbers. We've heard three different page numbers at this
Yes.
point.
Thank you very much. But the point was that ACA will be mentioned when you make amends. I think it would be great if the book gives that kind of example. That was the main point I have here.
Thank you
But
so
thank
much, Katarina. Thank you so much for being here this
Thank
morning.
you. Thank you for your questions.
We will move on to the next proposal, and I've received a request that we read the issue before we get started. The next proposal will be from Tel 0341. Mary. Okay. Kelly, I'm going to invite you to read the issue before we take questions.
Okay, hi, I'm Kelly. My group was the proposing group. Issue that the WSO analysis of ballot proposals shall be presented only for those proposals that have met the 66.7% threshold for placement on the ABC agenda. Such analysis shall be released after fellowship voting has been completed and shall include, if provided, a response from the proposing group. The analysis and any responses must be published no later than 3 weeks prior to the ABC event.
Hugh Kelly, do we have questions for Kelly about her group's proposal? Matt, please go ahead.
Yes, Kelly, I had a question, and it pertains exactly to what the topic here is, the WSO analysis that I'm most interested in. And my question is, would you have liked an opportunity to respond to the WSO's analysis to your proposal? And do you have what that would be?
Thank you, Matt. Absolutely. Part of, I mean, and that's why we added that into this proposal that a response from the proposing group would be allowed. And that's based on in the past being feeling as though other proposals have had responses that weren't really factually correct. And again, the response, well, first of all, as we can see, and part of their response in the analysis was that there's other proposals that are sort of under the umbrella of the same thing. So that should be noted that this is sort of an issue or a concern for more groups than just mine and other delegates. The idea that it would eliminate the opportunity for groups to have an analysis. First of all, let me just say that WSO and the board are, they're a service arm of the conference, and the conference being delegates that have been chosen by the representing groups. So the conference is supposed to give directives to the WSO, and then they figure out how they can implement that. So it's at that point that the conference picks which proposals they think are valuable, keeping in mind that if they do meet the threshold, it does not mean that the proposal itself passes. It means that it's going to be discussed further, which is really important. And a lot of times these analysis, the conference, I mean, the WSO has a large influence on the conference. And it has been sort of uncovered through various delegates and groups that sometimes these analyses can really sway groups prior to them gathering information. Hopefully that answers your question for the most part. I feel like I could go on and on, but I don't want to do that.
Thank you, Kelly. We have time for two more questions on this proposal, and I'm going to call on Loretta next.
I'm sorry, Karen. Can I provide a point of information?
Go ahead.
I just wanted to give some context for the WSO analyses. You said that they're not always factually correct. I don't want to argue that right now, but we do our very best to give information that we know to be factually correct. That is in addition to whatever has been provided in the proposal so that the delegates have an informed decision. Also, it might have been true a long, long time ago that the board would say we like this or doesn't like this. We do not do that anymore. We do our very best to be impartial and to only provide facts that would help the delegates. So I just wanted to provide that.
Thank you, Tamara. I'm going to call on Loretta next.
Can you tell me what 66.7% threshold, what does that mean?
Do you want me to answer that, the ballot prep committee, or do you guys want to take that? Because it's
This is your proposal, so go ahead.
okay. So in the ballot process, the decision that the groups that are receiving, well, all groups are receiving the ballot with the proposals. Groups are voting on whether they would like to see which proposals they would like to see discussed further on the agenda. And the proposals that get 66.7% votes yes are then to be placed on the agenda. So it's the percentage of groups that vote on the proposals in a yes vote that then get placed on the agenda. Hopefully that's clear. And if not, anybody else can jump in with any more clarity.
Oh,
Thank
that
you,
answers
Loretta.
my question. Yes, that answered my question. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Loretta. Thank you, Kelly. We'll call on Brad, and that's going to be our last question on this proposal.
Thank you. The WSO analysis says that this proposal may be similar to two other proposals. Is that an opinion or a fact?
So, Brad is directing that question at me, or are you speaking to Tamara, who stated that?
Tamara.
It's
Because
in
I would
the.
also like a chance to respond to Tamara as afterwards. Thank you.
Tamara's response to Brad's question, and then one closing comment from Kelly before it's time to move on.
I think in the process of building the WSO analyses and working with the BPC committee, it was established by several people that some of the proposals seem similar, and so we noted that.
Is that a fact or an opinion?
It's in a fact.
It is a fact that they're similar.
Let's refrain from back and forth commentary, back and forth conversation. We really want to highlight questions here and not debate. So I think we had Kelly, we were giving Kelly one more opportunity to comment before we move on to the next proposal.
Thank you. It sort of points out one of my one of the points of this proposal that when Tamara came in with point of information, that I should be allowed to respond to that, which, you know, in the analysis, there isn't a response. I do think there has been proposals that haven't been factually correct, and that the proposers have requested more talk on that, which they have not gotten. And I also think when a when an analysis sort of states something about that we're already doing that, that's oftentimes not actually true. And so again, it's not really a fact. So there, this is not allowing for more conversation after those analysis. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. We are going to move on to the next proposal, which is the ballot prep committee proposal on changing, adjusting the timeline for the ballot process. And I believe Mary Jo is going to be speaking on behalf of the ballot prep committee. Mary Jo, can you start us off by reading the proposal?
The issue is we move to adjust the timeline for the ballot process beginning with the 2027 to 28 ballot season. The call for proposals will be issued at the annual business conference, ABC. Publication of voting results shall occur no later than the end of the year. And the ballot prep committee shall be authorized to adjust the timeline between start and finish of the ballot process to meet the needs of the fellowship. The discussion about changing the process has come up frequently throughout the last several years or many years. And this is an attempt to, first of all, make things easier at the end of the year. We get into this crunch when we have to get everything ready, and we're going into the holiday season, especially in the US with Thanksgiving and then Christmas. And this is an attempt to change that process so that we can actually then finish the ballot proposal process by the end of the year, and including voting on the ballot, and then potentially even have a proposal or two ready for the first conference business meeting that usually happens in end of January for beginning of February. So I'll pass with that. Is that
Mary Jo, we have a question from Sue.
Yes, I just want to make sure I understand, and that is, you're saying there'll be one time to present ballots, and that will be for the whole year, the next following next year. Is that, am I right?
yeah, what it'll be, it's that instead of starting the ballot proposal process in August, call for proposals, it will start earlier, immediately following the ABC. So it's essentially moving everything up about 3 months or so, or 2.5, whatever.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Next question is from Matt Kay.
Yeah, Mary Jo, did the committee ever consider a 2-year cycle for ballot for this ballot process?
I don't believe that came up in conversations. Somebody else on the committee can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is all that we considered, this possibility.
Thank you,
Interesting
Matt.
idea.
Next question is from Jim.
Hi, thank you. If this proposal were adopted for the agenda, would the entire ballot process be open for discussion, or is it just about the timeline?
At this point, this is just about the timeline.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. William, next question.
I was wondering how you're going to deal with a situation like this year if we come up with an extraordinary amount of ballots and you get into the December season. How are you going to deal with processing all the ballots?
Well, we would have processed them well before the end of the year. I mean, like right now, I mean, we spent a great deal of November and December all, you know, processing everything and creating the ballot and getting all the translations done. That time frame would be moved up to earlier, more in the fall. And yeah, I don't know if I answered your question, William.
It does. Thank you.
Thank you, William. I'm going to just speak to some chat comments that are happening. Again, this forum is not for debate. This forum is for getting questions answered, and I ask everybody here to refrain from using the chat, which is open for debate. Otherwise, we will move to close the chat so that you can only message to hosts or co-hosts. Do we have any other questions for this proposal? Kelly.
Yeah, I mean, I totally understand the reasoning behind this. I wonder, is this mostly prompted by just the sheer number of ballots this year? I mean, I can't, it's, I've been part of the committee, and I'm sure you all had to just work above and beyond. Is that largely the reason for it, or do you feel like every year there's a crunch?
Well, that certainly was a catalyst for some of this year. We were overwhelmed, and I think I speak for all of us in different ways. And that, but also I think just as in a regular year, oops, sorry, didn't mean to, that it really, we are busy through the holiday season, and this just adds to the,
One more follow-up. It
Excuse
seems,
me, we are actually out of time for questions on this proposal, unfortunately, and it's time to move on. Thank you, everyone. So we're moving on to proposals submitted by IG76. I believe Pam is here to speak on those proposals. Pam, would you like to read the issue on the first proposal on this on the agenda from your group?
Yeah, we propose that volunteers create a booklet that defines large matters of general policy and finance referenced in Concept 6. The committee will use material provided as a basis to create their booklet related to policy and finance matters. Their draft will be emailed to worldwide delegates before the May 2027 Annual Business Conference. Following fellowship review, the committee will submit the final draft for approval at the 2028 Annual Business Conference.
Thank you, Pam. Do we have questions for Pam on this proposal? Sue, go ahead.
My question is the concept committee, the volunteers writing this, are they available to be a part of that group that makes that booklet? Because the idea sounds valid, and I just want to know who.
Well, I mean, a conference committee or a committee of volunteers that are delegates hopefully make up that committee, but it's, you know, like any committee, it's sort of, you know, whoever shows up. You know, they're certainly invited, but right now, I mean, I'm on the concepts committee, and there's a couple other people that are here that are on the concepts committee, so certainly there's going to be involvement, right?
Thank you,
Sue. Kelly, next question.
Yes, I'm on the concepts committee, and just the WSO analysis says this is still under development with the concepts committee, and concepts committee is not tasked with developing what is large matters of policy and finance. So that statement is very misleading. Thank you.
Yeah. Can move into Jim for his next question.
Yeah, thank you. It When I see booklet, I think of something that's for sale and that it has an expense in producing. Are we anticipating that this would be sold and that we would at least break even?
Well, I mean, I think this is a huge, huge subject that needs defining, you know, good, bad, or otherwise. And certainly the first draft that's supplied to the committee is not going to be the end of the conversation. As far as, you know, is there a cost to produce a booklet? Yes, of course. You know, can I do it on my desktop computer? Yes, I have. Not for this topic, but I mean, yeah, there's always going to be a cost to it. But you know, how many people are going to be interested in the subject? I don't know. But I think it's something we need to address.
Thank you. The next question, we have time for two more questions on this proposal. The next question will be from Josh.
Hi, this is Josh. I'm also on the Concepts Committee and partly just want to clarify, the Concepts Committee is not developing anything about what is a large matter of policy or finance. So that is factually inaccurate. But what is accurate is what's under resource and implementation, which is Concepts Committee feels that the conference should determine what is a large matter of policy and finance. So to that point, question, Pam, when you say a committee, are you proposing a WSO committee? A conference committee? What kind of group of volunteers are you referring to here? Can you clarify?
Well, as originally written, it was a conference committee, but the idea of conference committee has been shot down and shot down and shot down by WSO in their analysis. Oh, we're not ready for that. Oh, we don't have a charter, so we can't possibly have a conference. And so we sort of, propose that volunteers create the book. But, you know, frankly, you know, that we will be drawing from the delegates.
Thank you. It's already happened. If you're not speaking, please mute yourselves to avoid distraction. We're going to call on Brad for the last question on this proposal.
Thank you. The WSO analysis says that if this were to pass, it would have to go through the Literature Development Committee booklet would need to be added to the literature and development projects, and the budget would need to be updated to include the additional costs. Incorporating this material into an existing service manual could reduce expense and improve accessibility. That's a lot of may and would. Anyway, if I understand the proposal correctly, Pam, it would be developed by a committee and then approved by the conference. It would not go through the literature and development process. Is that correct?
Well, that would be my wish.
That's my understanding of the proposal. So it does not seem that analysis is correct.
Thank you very much. We are out of time for questions on this proposal. We're going to move on to the next proposal, also from IG76.
Okay, volunteers will create a booklet containing six inventories: personal daily inventory, blameless family of origin inventory, meeting inventory, service board inventory, service board committee, and four-step inventory. Our inner group will provide a rough draft copy for inventories for the booklet committee to just consider. Their inventories will be sent to worldwide delegates and meeting contacts before the May 2027 ABC. For input, the final draft will be proposed for the 2028 ABC.
Thank you, Pam. Do we have questions on this proposal? Patricia.
I have one. As these inventories, I was absolutely fascinated by these inventories. I really love them. I couldn't see how they would all fit into one booklet because they're so disparate in purpose. And I was wondering if it was actually intended that it would all six of these be in one single booklet. It appeared to be that. I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah, so far, a booklet can certainly be a novelette.
Thank you, Patricia. Next question is from Sue.
That came quick. I just was curious if the committee who wrote this had given thought to the point that individuals are able to create their own inventories.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. The problem is several of us have been in meetings, whether they're recovery meetings or business meetings, and somebody said, "Oh, we need to do an inventory." And everybody sort of looked dumbfounded at them because nobody knew what they were talking about. Because if you come in from another program, you know what this means. And when you're an ACA, we don't use these very much. There's one inventory that goes on for pages in the Big Red Book. If it's it's rather cumbersome, and I'm not sure it covers the subject that it needs to. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Next question is from Erin.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for being here. So my question is, wouldn't something like this be better on our website? I know we have a page, and I forget the name of the page, but it's about, different things that are suggested for use in different places. And the reason I ask that is because very few people tend to be in service and then put out money for service. So I don't see this as being, I kind of see it hurting our finances instead of helping. And I think to make it more accessible to everyone, putting it on the website would be a better solution. Can you say anything about that? Why you chose otherwise?
Well, if you happen to be in a meeting and this comes up, I don't know if you have access to a website. I mean, we just didn't think of a website. I certainly it could go up on a website as well. But my experience is people are carrying around the Big Red Book, when they're in-person meetings. I know that I don't know if Amica's here, but Amica has access to almost everything, as far as electronics, access to information. So I suppose it could do that, and I sort of like that idea to add to it, but I certainly would want the hard copy in front of me. Thank you.
Thank you, Erin. We have time for two more questions on this proposal. I will call on Adelina next.
Hi everyone, Adelina here. Thank you for your proposal, Pam and the group. I was looking at the inventory that you are proposing. Inventories and clarity about inventories are important, very helpful. I'm just a little bit confused. What made you put together personal recovery inventory and then trusted servants inventory? And then even like I'm looking at service board committee, as an ACA member, I only care about my recovery and it would be more helpful to have, this separated. So I wanted to ask what made you put everything together?
Well, because, those of us who are in recovery meetings as well as business meetings run into this all the time. As far as a meeting, the reason you do an inventory in a business meeting is because there's a problem in the business meeting. And so, it's just easier for me to grab the little booklet that says inventories on it, and I can leaf through the little booklet and find the one that describes whatever we're talking about as a sponsor, you know, the Blamos Family Inventory, which I don't see anywhere in this program. I'm sure it's here somewhere, but I'm sure somebody's done one, but I don't have access to it. And it needs to, you know, be distributed through WSO, right? So that's why it's because all of it comes up as, you know, we need to solve a problem. Thank you. Does that answer it?
Yes. Thank you, Adelina. And we'll hear from Brad with our final question on this proposal.
Thank you. The WSO analysis says that this booklet would need to be submitted to literature and development and follow the process for literature development that's in the OPPM. And yet the proposal says that the final draft will be proposed for approval at the annual business conference. Or if it's approved by the conference, it doesn't appear to me that it would be factually correct to say it would have to go through a literature development process that's in the OPPM. Is that correct?
Brad, is that a question for the proposing group or for the WSO?
It's a question for the proposing group.
Okay.
All right. Like I said, it was written by the group. I mean, it's the delegates who make the decisions about what happens in this program, or it should.
Right. So it would not add to the it would not add to
the refrain what, from back and forth conversation. We really want to focus on getting questions answered.
You know, there's WSO has a mountain of work to do without having to, you know, do, you know, what I consider to be conference stuff. You know, they're here for the purpose of making sure that we file our taxes, and they're the point of information for the worldwide fellowship and the worldwide community. You know, and any reporter that wants to call them, they're there to make sure everything works. They're there to make sure the books get published and translated, that kind of thing. You know, in other 12-step programs, there are conference committees that work together with the WSO committees. And between them, you know, they hammer it out, so that everybody gets served and the fellowship gets served in the best way it possibly can. But to answer the question, you know, the timeline tells you that it really can't go through the WSO process. And it is our feeling that it doesn't really need to once the delegates, you know, hammer it out.
Thank you, Brad. Thank you, Pam. We're going to move on to the next proposal. This is still the Six Inventories booklet. Okay. This is proposal 2026-15. Pam, would you care to read the proposal as we get started?
Yeah, we propose a committee of conference delegates create a booklet defining the inverted pyramid service structure for ACA. The committee's draft of the booklet will be made available for global delegates before the May 2027 ABC. Our intergroup will provide material for the committee to consider for their booklet, incorporating input received from the Worldwide Fellowship. The final draft will be presented as a proposal at the 2028 ABC conference for conference approval.
Questions, William.
Yeah, I have a comment on all of these booklets. I don't understand how you expect the WSO to publish these books without going through their process. Could you explain that?
Well, I was drafted into the WSO in the 1990s. For one purpose, and it's because they didn't have a literature committee. So I was the essentially first chair of the literature committee for WSO. So, I know what people are capable of. We have, I don't know, 10, 12 people on the WSO and their committees. Let me rephrase that. There are 10 or 12 people that are on the WSO board right now. They have a huge mountain of work to do. Huge, without any of this stuff, as far as, yes, WSO has made a well-oiled machine to do certain things. Most of those things, belong in a conference committee. And that's evaluating literature would be one of them, encouraging literature to be produced on certain subjects that the fellowship is asking for. And from there, it goes into the other production. But it should be the conference committee and the conference actually accepting what the conference committee's put together. And then it should go to the WSO for translation and publication. Thank you.
Thank you, William. Thank you, Pam. We're going to move on to our next question from Kelly.
Hi, thanks, Pam. I love this proposal. I guess what I want to clarify, I mean, again, I'm going to the WSO analysis. First, it states the same thing that all the other ones do about the requirements and the literature development and all that, but it's the part about that it's already in the OPPM. Is it your understanding, because it is mine, that the OPPM is sort of like the operating manual for WSO, the World Service Organization, its board and its committees and its staff? That is not the same as the fellowship. The fellowship is not WSO. I guess what I'm trying to say is, the service structure and the inverted pyramid is so much bigger than the WSO. Is that sort of your understanding and the idea to create something that does not just follow the OPPM, because that's not the conference, that's not the fellowship, that is just the service structure that is, supposed to take directives from the fellowship. Just can you speak to that for a minute? Is that a big part of this? Thank you.
All right, well, one of the reasons we seem to have, there were more than 29 proposals submitted, but there were something like 35. So what's happened in about 2017 is the intergroups and the regions were relegated to a subcommittee of member services. Meaning, and while the and in started at that time was something called the nomination committee. The idea of the nomination committee behind that was supposed to be to keep, board members from recruiting their personal friends so that it was a more broad process. But what's happened because of that is we don't have representation. The inverted pyramid essentially says, number one, that meetings will elect representatives, to do for them to be their committee at the intergroup level. And the intergroup representatives will go to regions, and the regions and will have voting power on the regions. And in the inverted pyramid structure, the regions, and because there aren't many regions, what we were doing back in the 90s was that intergroups as well as regions were being represented on the board as voting members. As a result of the
Excuse
breakdown.
me for cutting in, but we are actually out of time for questions on this proposal, so I'm going to suggest that we move on to the
Can I
next
just
proposal.
provide a brief point of clarification?
Tamara, please go ahead.
I mean, first of all, with any proposal, if it is approved at the conference, the implementation plan would be built at that time. For any of these suggestions about the brochures or any piece of literature, it could definitely help to speed things up if a group of people help to write it. Ultimately, the literature and development process exists to support authors and strengthen the literature while helping to ensure that the materials can be shared with the entire World Fellowship. And because ACA literature is translated into more than 38 languages, the process also helps ensure the material can be clearly understood and accessible across languages. So the literature, as we write it in WSO analysis, the literature process is only meant to help any of these that are approved by the conference.
Thank you, Tamara. We're going to move on to the next proposal. Pam, would you care to read the issue?
And this is the last one for me. All right. We propose the worldwide voting on ballot proposals be the one and only vote on those proposals, time allotted at the annual business conference or conference business meeting. To the proposals passed by the fellowship will allow delegates to discuss the steps to implement the proposals. Delegates will be invited to be on the committees implementing the passed proposals.
Questions for Pam on this proposal? Sue, please go ahead.
Unmute, Sue.
Will this committee, does it believe that this proposal will solve the lack of delegate volunteers in leadership? Hello?
I'm not sure what it has to do with it.
It's a confusing proposal.
When people get involved, when people know that their vote means something, right now, the worldwide voting on ballot proposals is, the important people in the room, the last time on any proposal passed in the annual business conference or the CBM was passed by something like 50 people. Now, if you take the delegates that voted, there's over 200 of them. So what we're saying is the important people in the room, are more important. Their vote is four times as important as the Worldwide Fellowship. So to answer the question, it seems to me if you want to empower people, you value their vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Thank you, Pam. Next question is from Patricia.
Yes, thank you. I'm just to clarify here, the voting on ballot proposals, like what we're getting ready to do right now, being the one and only vote on these proposals, you were saying that the business conference would then not have a vote on whether the ballot was passed. They would only be tasked with implementation. So the difference would be the step, it sounds to me like, so they don't get to talk about it and decide if there's any other factors to consider or any other context. They just are tasked with just doing it. And then they would have to hammer out motions for implementation and making the plan, which we already do in the annual business conference. Is that correct?
Yeah, let me give you some historic context. That's exactly the way we used to do it. What this proposal says is exactly the way we used to do it. This changed about 2017. So for years, since I don't know, the 80s up until about 2017, this is what happened because we valued the vote of the worldwide population that chose to vote as delegates for their meetings, for their groups.
To the next question. We have two more questions for this proposal. William, please go ahead.
I see The major flaw in this proposal and the fact that at the last conference, there were
Ian,
fewer
do you mind
local.
if I interrupt to ask, do you have a question for the proposing group or are you making an observation?
Yes. I'm asking how we're going to deal with the fact that there were fewer delegate, there were more delegate votes than there were worldwide votes. That's hard to say. Were worldwide votes last year in the conference. Thanks.
Well, as I understand it, there were about 50 people in the room that voted, and then the worldwide vote came in at about 200. So I don't know, where the breakdown of information is.
Last question on this proposal is going to be from Amica.
Hello. Thank you, Pam. Thank you, everyone. Hopefully, everything we talk about won't be edited out as some of the minutes were from the last session, so that everyone can hear what happened. So, along with that, with this proposal, Pam, I'm wondering, along with whatever everything's been shared, is there an aspect to it? I don't know how to go about it exactly with voting this proposal, but the whole batch of them, I think I understand where you're going. And the way I see it, we are in this time of transition. See, and there's a lot of confusion with it. So I'm just asking this, if you can give me a say, we have the registrants, which they refer to really, there's a lot of the definitions. They call it the private contact, right, for the group. So they're the ones that the WSO is in contact with. They register the meetings that are listed, right, to be a registered meeting. And on that, it says that I am the person who's doing this, has through group conscience been allowed to, given the group conscience to do this, and that we will follow as our group, we'll go along with the traditions and the concepts and the commitment to service. So they are supposed to be somewhat aware, even because we're registered there. Then we have. You can also, a
What is
group can
your
have a delegate.
question, Amica?
It is exactly. Then a group can have a delegate, right? And to come in. So that is it that we need is this is where all of them are going, that we need a conference outside of the WSO where all the group contacts, which are basically general service representatives, that's another name, and the delegates are all getting together regularly throughout the year at different times and working and taking care of all these things that you're talking about. Is that the general idea? And because I want to help with it. Thank you.
All right. Well, right now, as I understand it, the worldwide vote is coming in on delegates from the that are elected delegates. We're not talking about the fellowship group vote. The fellowship group vote goes out to the contacts of the meetings that you're calling registrants. Okay, so it's a different kind of vote. And I think that answers it, yeah.
Okay, thank you so much, Pam. We're going to move on to the next proposing group, which is Oklahoma 0058. And we actually have a question for the group. Can you back up a slide? About the some of your proposals from ACANYIGIG2, which is asking, hello, we were reviewing the ballots and found it curious that many came from one meeting. Please, can you give us some background why that group, why you are so active in proposing ballots? Brad, would you like to speak to that?
Sure. Be glad to. Most of the issues in our proposals have been brought up before, either on the board or in a board committee, and have little to no action has been taken on them. And we have been repeatedly advised to submit ballot proposals if we want to make changes. So we did that. We submitted ballot proposals for changes that we'd like to see made in the way ACA operates and WSO operates.
Thank you, Brad. And we'll move to the first proposal from your group. And if you would like to read the issue before we take questions.
A motion be adopted amending the ACA literature and products pricing policy adopted at the September 27th, 2025 CBM by adding the following paragraph. Provided, however, that any adjustment in pricing enacted by the WSO board shall not continue in effect unless that action is ratified by a majority of delegates present at the next ABC or CBM.
Questions for Brad on this proposal? Sue.
I'm just curious, do you trust the trustees?
Would you like to respond?
I'm thinking about it. I trust that the majority of the trustees have good intentions. And I trust some of the trustees completely, and others I'm not sure about.
Thank you, Sue. Thank you, Brad. We'll move on to the next question from Erica.
Yeah, thank you so much. So it sounds, and I just wanted to make sure that I'm understanding this ballot, that you are simply asking for some semblance of checks and balances as it relates to the when things are decided when it comes to this particular issue, which is product pricing policy. Adding this statement, what you're trying to achieve is a level of checks and balances where it's not necessarily being anything being decided, even by the trustees who've been appointed to do so much, but that ultimately everything should be reviewed and ratified at a business conference by the delegates. So it sounds like a more of a checks and balances issue versus you know, things being decided by one entity. That's my understanding of it. Is that accurate?
That is exactly correct.
Thank you.
Thank
it
you,
sounds
Erica.
Healthy to me. That sounds yes. Healthy to me. Thank you.
Thank you, Erica. We'll move to the next question from Kelly.
Okay, so Erica just asked my question.
And then we can move on.
And it
Thank
was
you.
Answered.
Do we have any other questions on this proposal?
Erica has her hand raised.
I'm sorry, I'm going to lower it.
If we don't have any other questions on this proposal, we can move to the next one. Brad, would you care to read the issue before we get started?
Yes, the ABC adopt a motion directing the Board of Trustees to amend Appendix 1, Section A of their OPPM to read as follows. Who may file a petition? A. WSO committees. B. The fellowship may be submitted by the following. I. One or more registered meetings, or 2. One or more registered intergroups, or 3. One or more registered regions.
Questions for Brad about this proposal. Kelly.
Do you, is this proposal sort of prompted by what is currently in the OPPM, which is really quite a laborious process and almost seems like it's designed to dissuade petitions? Is that what's sort of prompting this ballot?
Yeah, essentially the current language in the OPPM says you can't file a petition unless there's what is it, three or more groups join in the petition instead of just one group. And that's not consistent with the bylaws, which say that anyone can question an action by the board.
Okay, thank you. I would approve that. Yep, thank you.
You, Kelly. Amica, next question.
Thank you. Yes, Brett, I'd just like to say thank you for paying attention to these things. I didn't even before I found this, it was something where I've been trying to take in exactly all the different pieces of information, the bylaws and the OPPM and everything else. And I noticed this, like in among a thousand other things. So I really do appreciate it. And I'd just like to really, you could use the time better than me. Is there anything else that the most important things about why, what I need to know just from you about where this came from? Just thank you. I'd like to just have that time to hear from you. Thank you.
Yes, I'd invite you to hang on for the rest of the proposals. I have repeatedly pointed out the inconsistencies in the OPPM and the provisions in the bylaws. The bylaws are legal doc. The bylaws are a legal document, a corporate requirement, and they should take precedence over anything else. And any provision in the OPPM that is not consistent with the bylaws is technically, in my opinion, illegal. But there are, WSO consistently denies that there are any inconsistencies between the bylaws and the OPPM because they interpret the OPPM and they can interpret the bylaws as well th through the OPPM. In essence, they're saying that we use the OPPM to interpret what the bylaws say. And I don't think that's a job for the board to do. I think if there is any question about whether the OPPM is consistent with the bylaws, it ought to be a decision made by the conference. The conference is the body that the WSO Board of Trustees is directly responsible to.
Thank you, Amica. Last question on this proposal will be from Josh.
This is just a very pragmatic, make sure I got this right. If I read this right and I reference the OPPM, which is open, anyone can view that if they want to on the Blue website. the only change is the meetings part, where before I think it was four or more registered meetings, and this would make it one. Is that correct? Is
That
that
is correct.
that's so that's the only change is
That's
for
the
that
only thing.
big A, little B, number one, four or more registered meetings becomes one or more. That's the only change here, right?
That is correct.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We're going to move to the next proposal. Proposal 2026-11. Brad, would you care to read the issue?
Yes, a motion be adopted directing the Board of Trustees to amend Article 11, Section 3 of the WSO bylaws by adding the following phrase, and provided the amendment is ratified by a two-thirds majority vote of the registered conference delegates in attendance at the immediately following business meeting of the conference, except in cases where the board's legal counsel determines that this ratification would infringe upon legal duties of the board or individual trustees.
Questions for Brad? Kelly.
Yeah, thanks, Brad. Love this one. Can we clarify when you say in attendance immediately of the registered conference delegates in attendance? So the proposal is suggesting it not going out to worldwide voting. Is that correct?
Yes, I believe that worldwide online voting is a violation of the provision in the bylaws that says that decisions at the conference are made by the group, by the members in attendance at the meeting.
Thank you.
So those who vote online who were not in attendance at the meeting, I believe it's a violation of the bylaws for them to be allowed to vote.
Thank you. Agreed.
Thank you, Kelly. Next question is from Amica.
Okay, I guess on that, you're so much more well-versed, so you use the time better. But in regards to that, I'm told that one of the big issues, which I believe you're familiar with, I don't know if that's Omer's group that you're from too in Oklahoma, but anyway, that there used to be a problem with travel, but some of the big kerfuffle came right from because people had to be at the cut. Okay, so one of the things, and also certain things have been changed a long way because of COVID and everything, and a lot there is definitely a place, I believe, for making use of the online and not, you know, give me more about the thought process behind it because the you're not wanting to be exclusionary, I don't believe, but can you just tell me, I want you to let you make use of the time. Just explain to me what's going on here. Thank you.
Okay. The people who, the person mostly, there was one individual who was pushing for the institution of the online voting. And I don't think they gave it very close thought and realized that it was in that allowing online voting by people who were not in attendance at the ABC was a violation of the provision in the bylaws. I just don't think they realized it, or they did realize it and chose to ignore it. No, I don't. I think there is a place for online voting in ACA, but before there was meetings online, before the ABC was an online meeting, it was an in-person conference. And only the people who were there in attendance, physically present at the conference, were allowed to vote. There was no provision for voting by people who were not in attendance. And I think that's exactly why that provision in the bylaws was put there, was to make sure that only the people who were in attendance and heard the discussion and participated in the discussion were allowed to vote. Now we have a method for polling the fellowship, getting a vote of the fellowship, like on the name change. So we can do that, but it still seems to me that the issues being discussed at the conference should be decided by those who are in attendance at the conference.
Thank you, Amica. Thank you, Brad. We have time for one more question on this proposal. Pam, please go ahead.
Well, to the best of my knowledge, the bylaws are put into place and have been put into place by the WSO board, and they're the ones that change them when it suits them, without input, without a lot of input. This is one of the few proposals I've seen that actually is talking about a change in the bylaws. So my question then is, are the bylaws specifically for the WSO, or can we start giving proposals for amendments to the bylaws as a conference?
Well, the bylaws themselves say that the conference gives direction to the board. So I don't see that directing the board to amend the bylaws in a certain way, particularly this particular amendment to provide for ratification of any change to the bylaws by the conference, seems to be perfectly reasonable to me.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. Thank you, Brad. We're going to move on to the next proposal from Brad's group. And I just want to interject with an encouragement to those who have not yet, maybe not yet, raised their hands to ask questions. We're hearing from a lot of the same people on each proposal. Please feel free to raise your hand if you have questions, and I'm going to invite those who are quick to raise their hand to maybe hold off a little bit to see if anybody else would like to ask a question. Proposal 2026-12. Would you like to start by reading the proposal, Brad?
Yes. A motion be adopted directing the board to remove all provisions in their OPPM providing for use of procedures from sources other than the latest edition of Robert's Rules of Order and conducting any conference business meeting, and remove provisions that allow delegates to vote when not actually in attendance at the meeting as that vote is conducted. This ensures compliance with Article 9, Section 4, and Article 8, Section 1 of the WSO bylaws.
Thank you, Brad. Questions on this proposal?
We're just asking that the board follow the bylaws.
And if we don't have any questions, I'm going to suggest we move to the next one. Proposal 2026-21.
The ABC adopt a
Excellent.
motion directing the Board of Trustees to make every ballot proposal received by the Ballot Preparation Committee that is determined to meet criteria for inclusion on the proposal ballot available to every registered delegate immediately.
Question from Amica.
It was on the last one. It's like, look, I'm not going to, I appreciate there's a lot to get through. I just want to hear from Brad. It's like get the cooler put on about there's a queue. So anybody, yes, come on, put the hands up. But like that time was just taken and then moving on. Like I didn't come in and ask the last one because it's like, oh, stay back. There's a queue. If we're interested, we want to get involved, we want to get involved. So that's what I'm here for. Brad, yes, the question, just fill me in. I want to hear from you to use the time. You use it better than I do. So whatever information you'd like to provide, thank you.
Okay. Currently, the Board of Trustees committee, the Budget pr Ballot Proposal Committee, receives the proposals from the groups or intergroups or whoever submits the proposal, and they do their work on them. Then the Board of Trustees and their committees get to create an analysis on those proposals. And until the analysis is complete, the ballots are then sent out to the groups, and they're kept secret in this whole time. No one except the ballot proposal committee and the board are given access to the proposals so that they can understand them, what they are, and read them. This proposal would simply require the board to make those ballot proposals available to delegates immediately upon receipt so that the delegates can see what the proposals are before the WSO creates their analysis and sends the ballots out for voting. The delegates need to be informed about what the proposals are as soon as possible, and there's absolutely no reason to keep them secret.
Thank you, Amica. Thank you, Brad. Do we have any other questions for Brad on this proposal? If not, I suggest, Sue, is this a question to proposal number 21?
Yes, I just want to understand, do you not think delegates have enough time?
Do I not think they have enough
Time
time?
to work on the proposals.
No, I don't think they do. And in any event, they're acting after the proposals have been sent out to their groups. To me, the delegates ought to be the ones who represent their group and have the information as early as possible about what the proposals say so they can be prepared to answer questions from their group about the proposals.
Thank you, Sue. Thank you, Brad. I hear the ballot prep committee wants to weigh in on this question.
I can do that, Karen. As Karen knows, because she's the chair of the board of the BPC,
No, I'm not chair of the board.
of the BPC, you may be chair of the board one day. that just the behind the scenes work, that there's a lot involved, including getting this. We work back and forth with the proposing groups if it needs clarification. The translation teams need a lot of time to make sure that they're available to bring this message to people internationally.
Thank you, Tamara. And we have one more question from Erica on this proposal, and then it'll be time to move on.
Alrighty, thank you. I know this may be redundant, but I just wanted to ask Brad just, for clarification. It's not just any ballot that you're asking to be made available to registered delegates. It's ballots that have already been reviewed by the ballot preparation committee, so it's been vetted. Because when I was looking at the WSO analysis, it almost indicated like one of the reasons why it wasn't potentially or why this proposal wouldn't necessarily work is because information on the ballots themselves might be inappropriate or misleading and all of those different things. So my question to you is, just reading this, your intention is not for anybody to just distribute or the WSO to distribute just unvetted ballots, that there is already a process in place where it has to go through the ballot preparation committee before it's being made available to registered delegates. Is that correct?
This proposal would require the ballot preparation committee to give a copy of those proposals to the delegates as soon as they get them. In my opinion, the proposal should not be going to the ballot preparation committee at all. They should be going to a conference committee of the conference, composed of conference delegates, for vetting and assessment before a recommendation goes to the board. I mean, goes to the conference. This whole ballot proposal process is to create an agenda for the ABC, and the ABC agenda should be developed by the conference itself, not by WSO.
Thank you so much. I that added some understanding. I think my interpretation was a little off. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Erica. Thank you, Brad. We'll move on to the next proposal. 2026-22. Brad, would you like to go ahead and start by reading the issue?
Yes, WSO analysis of ballot proposals be limited to those placed on the ABC agenda and shared with all registered delegates for 7 days of comment. All delegate comments and the WSO analysis for each proposal will be posted on the official ABC website and emailed directly to all registered delegates for transparent and accessible fellowship review.
Thank you, Brad. Do we have questions about this proposal for Brad? Patricia.
Just a quick one. I feel some concern about the ballot. Okay, so people have to vote on, groups will be voting on these without using any comments from WSO, without using any analysis, without knowing any extra context provided by the trustees who are ratified by the ABC, I would like to point out. I just wanted to say, is that correct? That
That
they're
is
that
correct.
they okay, that you're just saying you don't want the now you don't want ballot proposals to be read with the WSO comments. You want them read just with what the group has to say without any additional context before they vote. Thanks.
That is correct. And the reason for that is that the purpose of the ballot proposal process is to establish the priority of these proposals in the views of the fellowship. It's not to vote on the merits of the proposal, but only on its priority. So they don't really need a lot of context to determine whether a proposal is of sufficient importance to the fellowship that the Conference of Delegates ought to be addressing it.
Thank you, Patricia. Next question is from Erica. Erica, you're on mute.
Oh, I am so sorry. Just coming from the perspective of somebody who's been in ACA and got involved in my intergroup, and you know, wanted to be an informed voter. I just wanted to say I appreciate you, Brad, for highlighting this, because it is not my perception of the WSO analysis is that it is not impartial. I'm just going to put that out there. I relied on it heavily to make a decision about the merit of the ballot. That might not have been the intention, but I can see how that could happen. My question for you is, the analysis for each proposal, once it's been placed on the agenda at the ABC, the timeline, let me see here, of the 7 days of delegates to comment, the registered delegates to make comments. Mm-hmm. Do you think 7 days is enough time?
You know, I don't know. But if this proposal receives enough votes to go on the agenda for the ABC, I think the conference delegates themselves are capable of determining whether the 7 days is enough, or if it needs to be more or less.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Erica. Thank you, Brad. Do we have any other? We have time for one more question, if there is one. Jim, please go ahead.
Hi, Jim here, and Brad, thank you for it seems like a sweeping vision of the process, and I'm wondering, in the, you know, you talk about delegates being able to comment once it's on the agenda. Would delegates also have an opportunity to comment with one another when they are weighing the proposal initially to see if makes it onto the agenda?
Let me see if I understand your question. You want to know if delegates would have an opportunity to comment on the proposals before the voting on whether or not to place it on the ballot?
Yes, you're envisioning a system where delegates get the proposals directly mm-hmm. as they're coming through the door. Mm-hmm. And do they then talk among themselves and comment in some sort of open forum place where they each can talk, you know, see what other people are thinking?
Well, as you know, I've been pushing for that for a long time, for a venue in which the delegates themselves can discuss and debate and disagree and reach compromise on the issues. And instead, what's happening at the ABC is the delegates are being allowed a one-minute comment and no follow-up question, no opportunity to discuss, no opportunity to debate, and they're being asked to vote then on a proposal. Well, they get a chance to propose alternative motions, but that's kind of hit or miss. What I'd like to see happen is the delegates get the proposals far enough in advance and have a venue in which they can discuss those proposals among themselves and ask questions and do the back and forth that's essential, I think, to the process of gaining clarity and gaining understanding about what the proposals mean, and hear both sides of the argument if there is a controversy about it, and reach compromise. I mean, that's how people who have different views on issues reach agreement, is by discussion, debate, and compromise. So that's what I envision, but it's a process to get there.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Brad. We'll move to the next proposal. Just for context, we have three more proposals from Brad's group. So thank you all for bearing with us as we go through these proposals one by one. 2026-25. Brad, please go ahead and read.
A motion be adopted directing the Board of Trustees to assist delegates in forming a conference charter committee by providing contact information for each registered ACA group, intergroup, and region, and upon request by the committee chair to continue assisting by providing information and feedback to the committee as it develops a draft of a conference charter to be recommended for adoption by the full conference at the 2027 ABC.
Questions for Brad on this proposal? Amica.
Thank you. Yeah, Brad, this seems to be, and I think Jim is there. I'd like to speak with Jim and Brad, service sponsors, everybody. So putting that out there. Okay. Brad, I don't know yet if this were to make it on and then go through, the vision that I have so far, and I think that's what others are working on, but it's what you're proposing here. But there also, I see there's the development. It needs to be, with what I see as the closest thing to a GSR, is that group contact. Now, I'm wondering, would I just be messing things up? I'm not going to try it. But if it went through, and you're saying there is the process for the possibility of making an amendment, but I would probably just blow it up if I was to say to include the same process, attach it to it, for one for delegates and one for the registrants or the group contact is what I would like to see, but maybe it's just too big for now. But your general idea, sorry I'm taking time, is to get us together more often throughout the year and to be having that format, what I see is like the district or regional or area assembly, and that is the people who are paying attention to the concepts and the traditions and to increase our knowledge and awareness. That's what I'm hearing. Is that correct? Anything else from you I'd like? Thank you.
That is correct. Right now, the only venue in which delegates get an opportunity to interact with each other is the Slack channel for delegates. That's it. And that's under the control of the WSO. I have pushed for a venue to be created in one of my following proposals is for the conference itself to create a Slack channel or some other platform that the WSO endorses as an official venue for the delegates to meet and get together and discuss and get to know each other, and so they can recognize which ones may be potential leaders, and form conference committees. It's just, a venue needs to exist for the delegates to interact among themselves so they can get to know one another and exchange views on issues and reach consensus on them.
Thank you, Amica. Thank you, Brad. I think we're getting ahead of things. There's another proposal on there somewhere about that. Mm-hmm. But we'll call on Kelly with one more question on this proposal.
Yeah, thank you. I'm sort of seeing two different proposals within this one. I'm seeing the request for well, you were just talking to it, Brad, so I'm feeling a little confused about creating a platform for delegates, mm-hmm. not organized by WSO, so the delegates can exchange information and talk to themselves freely. That's one thing. Then I see, as it develops, a draft of the conference charter to be recommended for adoption. So the idea here seems to be to ask for contact information to create this charter committee to then draft a conference charter. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. It's like that is correct. That
because
is correct.
There was a group of us that did submit a proposal for a committee to draft a conference a charter 3 years ago, told it was already being done. So here we are.
And it got shot down by false information that was provided by WSO. And I was a party to that, which I regret.
Thank you.
We're getting into a little bit more debate here, I can see. Sue, I'll give you one more question on this proposal.
Thank you. I'm a little confused because 25, which we're talking about, and 26 seem to be being discussed at the same time. My question for 25 is, have you considered how large the elephant in the room is to try to get, which a very lofty goal of providing contact information. It's extremely important, but how? It doesn't seem to really be addressed.
How to provide the contact information?
Well, who's going to compile it?
Well, the WSO already has email addresses and phone numbers for all of the delegates when they register. So all they've got to do is print out the information and give it to the conference. I mean, it's not a matter of it, the information doesn't have to be collected. It is already collected and collated in one place and can be provided at the touch of a button.
All right. We are going to move on to the next proposal. So that is, in fact, 2026-26. Please go ahead and read the proposal, Brad.
The ABC adopt a motion directing the ACA Board of Trustees to recognize a delegate-owned and operated communications channel as an official communication channel for the conference and for all registered delegates, a channel under the exclusive use, management, and control of registered conference delegates.
Do we have questions for Brad about this proposal? Amica.
Yep, I just want to hear more. It's you're speaking my language, and I just give me you make better use of the time. Just any information background, this is exactly where I am. Just I want to just hear from you. Thank you.
Well, this has been proposed to the board a number of times by me and I think others. And their arguments have to do with if WSO pays for this channel, then they have some liability for the safety and operation of that channel. So we offered to fund it ourselves. We pay for the channel. We control the channel. It's not controlled by WSO, and the WSO has no liability. All they need to do is recognize the channel as an official delegate channel and recognize that any organization of delegates that takes place as a result of this venue, or any committees formed by the delegates as a consequence of being able to interact with each other during this in this venue, are official acts of the conference. We simply ask for recognition that if we buy a channel that all delegates are welcome to join, that it is an official meeting of the conference.
Thank you. Next question is from Sue.
Hi, I hear a paranoia coming through loud and clear here that's really scary to me. I trust that these people who are leaders are trying to do the right thing. If you want to purchase another channel, you're welcome to do it. But I do not see that as a function of ACA. I think I'd rather see people go to meetings.
Sorry, Sue, do you have a question for Brad?
I'm concerned about this. I'm sorry, I will stop.
Well,
Thank you, Sue. I am skeptical and suspicious by nature, and it's based on my experience, past experience with WSO.
Thank you, Brad. We'll take two more questions on this proposal. One is from Erica.
Yes, thank you, Brad. So I know that one thing somebody might say is, yeah, you're free to do whatever you want. If you want to, create your own thing, then by all means do that. But I think the issue that you're raising, if I'm correct, is that if things are not officially at this point where we are in ACA as a fellowship, if things are not quote unquote endorsed by WSO, then unfortunately people don't can see it as legitimate, or they might even have safety concerns. As we know, there's things happening nowadays where people are on social media, doing things that are completely scary. And so I know there's been a movement in that. So my question for you is this: wanting to ensure that there is something for the delegates now, which for delegates, not just social media, for the delegates to be able to independently, and I'm all about checks and balances here, have meaningful discourse that is just endorsed by WSO. My question for you is, is there a financial component here where you're asking WSO to provide funds, or is this something that doesn't involve any finances if, in fact, this proposal goes through?
Yes, we're asking for simply recognition as a channel for delegates of the to the conference. That's all we're asking for. We provide our own funding, select our own venue, and just provide the venue that we've been asking WSO to provide for a long time, but they I have not done so.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Erica. Last question on this proposal is from Aaron.
Hello, thank you. My question is, how would this be different from the Zoom meetings that you and several of the other people that are here had been holding, separate from WSO, and those meetings folded? How will it be different? Because what I noticed there, and I'm noticing off and on here, is that we are not speaking from the neutrality of the spiritual principles of our traditions. And there was a lot of dis there was tons of distrust and board bashing, which is why I left those meetings. How would this be different?
It would be different because it would be open to delegates only. A number of people in the Zoom meetings I think you're referring to are not delegates. Maybe they've been delegates in the past, but are not delegates currently. And we would I would envision the delegates organizing themselves and creating guidelines for that venue that don't currently exist. The guidelines may be similar to the ones that WSO instituted for their Slack channels, but they would be guidelines developed and approved by the delegates themselves and not controlled by WSO. And WSO would not be able to regulate the debates that occur and it's just it's a venue where the delegates themselves can decide how they want that thing to run.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Brad. We'll move on to the last proposal on our list for today, which is also from Brad's group, 2026-27.
The ABC adopt a motion directing the Board of Trustees to assist delegates in forming a conference committee that will create a plan for an executive committee of the conference. Describe the roles of its officers and design how officers are chosen. The committee will recommend a draft plan and selection process by March 2027. This gives enough time for feedback before the final plan is presented at the 2027 ABC.
We have questions for Brad. Amica?
Yeah, again, I think you better use time, but my understanding is, and I have heard a lot of commentary and opinion from those asking questions, which is fine by me, but I have been censored in the last one. So thank you, Brad. What a service to have one as you so knowledgeable. I'm so appreciative as a delegate and a member. So the general idea, right, in everything is. What I'm seeing is to have more trust. Am I right? To have more trust in those who are on the board. Not saying anything about personnel. This is about principles. But if delegates, those of us who were involved in these matters and concerned with the concepts and the traditions and working and learning how to work with one another. That's the right. We learn how to work with one another, and then so by the time we would all know that. Going to the board, whoever's getting nominated, that yeah, we would instant because we'd have more trust just from that process because we'd have been working together and we'd know that everybody's concerned about through a history, through years of history. Am I right about this? And I just want to hear from you. Thank you.
Yes, you're exactly right. This is simply creates an opportunity for the delegates themselves to get to know each other and to decide which of them have sufficient soundness of judgment that they want to be elected as leaders of that group. I mean, if you have a group of people trapped in a building, they may all be strangers, but if they're trapped long enough, they're going to be able to get to know people well enough that they can pick those whose judgment they trust and whose leadership they trust. And that's exactly what this would provide for, is an opportunity for the delegates themselves to form a committee that would create the framework for an executive committee of the conference that would be hopefully empowered by the delegates to speak for the conference when the conference is not in session. Because a lot of questions come up at WSO as to, well, what would the conference want to see on this issue? What would the conference's opinion be on this issue? If they have a conference committee to go to, or if they have an executive committee to go to, they can find out what the general attitude is expected to be among the delegates. It's not a way to replace the conference, but it's simply a way to, in the same way that the conference itself is the voice of the fellowship, the voice of the groups, the executive committee could be delegated the responsibility by the conference to be the voice of the conference when the conference is not in session. Does that make sense?
Thank you very much. We have time for one more question on this proposal, and I will call on William. William, you're on mute.
I'm curious as to where you're going to find these volunteers for this committee, as the sustainability committee just put out a notice at the last conference, at the last committee, conference business meeting, CBM, that we needed volunteers to form a committee to explore the structures of other programs. And we did not get one response outside of people in WSO. Thanks.
Well, I personally believe that there are a number of delegates who would be willing to volunteer to serve on a committee that's not under the control of the board. In other words, they would be willing to serve on a conference committee, but not on a board committee. It's also conceivable that we could do something like AA does. Every delegate to their conference is assigned to a committee. And we could ask for volunteers to serve. If nobody volunteers, we assign them to a committee, but we wouldn't force anybody to serve, of course. But if they are assigned to a committee and asked if they would serve, then they're on the committee. I'm confident that the conference delegates can decide for themselves how to form a conference committee.
Thank you very much, everyone, for questions. Thank you, Brad, for being available for answering questions about your proposals. We are almost at the end of our meeting time. Thank you, Mary Jo, for helping with this portion of the screen share. And I'm going to go back to my screen share here. Nope. This was not what I was trying to do. Sorry. Bear with me. No. Here's what I want to do. We want to. We want to take a brief moment for questions about the ba overall ballot process. If you have any, we're about 5 minutes from the top of the hour, but if you have questions about the ballot process, please feel free to raise your hand. And just as a rem Brad, go ahead.
I have a question about something Tamara mentioned earlier about the work that goes on behind the scenes in the ballot preparation committee, the translations and those things that need to occur. Can you talk a little bit about how my proposal for the proposals to be immediately released to the delegates, would that interfere with any of the normal BPC processes?
That's a good question, and I feel like it speaks to the proposals themselves rather than to the overall process at this time. So I'm going to suggest that we move on. If we don't have any other questions about the process itself, I just want to give you a reminder that voting opened last Sunday, March 1st, and it will end on April 15th. We really appreciate all of you taking the time out of your morning today, and for the service that you are providing to your group by being informed about the ballot proposals on on this year's ballot. Erin, I do see your hand.
Yeah, I did. I was trying to get my thoughts together as I sent a couple things, a couple chats about the process. And two of those were that when somebody is, like when you've called on somebody to speak, that they give their question first and then any context about that question so that we know they have a question. So that was one point. And the other point was, having been in service for a long time how a lot of the stuff is like, well, we don't want the WSO to give too strong of a biased opinion, blah, blah, blah. And when I'm in these ballot prep meetings, like I really want to hear questions with neutrality so that I can make my decisions and bring these questions and information back to my group. When I hear people who are over and over and over again, I don't need to use these words in the wrong way, but kind of like dominating with questions, then I start to assume, oh, they must know. And that kind of doesn't speak to the neutrality of our traditions. And I'm just wondering how we could bring more neutrality into these so that, newer people can really get the questions without the biases of how to vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Erin, for your feedback on the process that we followed today. I just want to offer a reminder to everybody that the process we're doing this year is new to the committee. We had to adapt the process that we've used in the past of inviting groups to do presentations to the not large number of proposals on the agenda. For this on the agenda for these meetings on this year's ballot, I see a lot of hands raising, and I am going to say we are at the point of wrapping up. I think if you have feedback on the process that we followed, I would like to invite you to our next ballot prep committee meeting, which is currently scheduled for Thursday, April 9th, to join us with feedback that you might have on the process that we followed for this year's Q&A sessions. I do have the indication from Tamara that she would like to make some closing remarks before we wrap up.
Yes, and maybe this speaks to some of the comments that had hands raised. I do want to thank everybody for your willingness to participate today and the broad perspectives. I want to remind us that the trustees do not serve above the fellowship. We serve within, alongside delegates and members. We are all also ACA. We appreciate this thoughtful discussion. And when a fellowship is as large and as diverse as we are, we're going to experience differences of opinion. So that's fair, and it offers adds to the conversation. So the ballot process and the conference exists so the fellowship can continue listening, learning, and moving forward toward informed group conscious together. And this conversation has added to that. So I honor that you're all here. Thank you.
Thank you, Tamara. I did see a question in chat about when the recording is likely to be posted. Sunday's recording was posted yesterday, so probably about a week before today's recording will also be posted. And if there's anything in chat that you would like to save, you can save it from the Zoom. And just a reminder, you can reach us at bpc@adultchildren.org. That's also a way to let us know feedback. As I said earlier, our next meeting is currently scheduled for April 9th, Thursday, April 9th. That's a bit of a deviation from our first and third Thursday schedule, but the first Thursday in April falls on Maundy Thursday, and we want to honor people who are trying to acknowledge the holiday. And with that, would somebody like to lead us in a closing prayer of your choice or the serenity prayer that's here?
I
I can
will.
do it. Oh,
Go ahead. Who was that?
that was me, Kelly Erica.
Go ahead,
Go
Erica.
ahead.
Thank you so much. I'm gonna be a little dramatic, okay? All right. Higher power, grant me the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, the courage to change the one I can, and the wisdom to know that one is me. Thank you.
Thank you, Erica. Thank you, everyone, again for being here and for taking time out of your morning to pursue these questions. Thank you again.
Thank you,
Thank you,
everyone.
Karen,
Thank you,
Selena.
Karen.
We are
Thank you,
sorry.
everyone.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This was
Great job.
awesome, actually. Thank
Thank
you.
you, everyone.
Thank you,
It was
everyone.
fun.
Thank you, Karen, for facilitating. Wonderful job.
Thank you
Thank
for your
you.
service, everyone.
Yes.
Take care of you. Bye.
Thank you.
My goodness.
Well,
Stop the recording.
Karen, when we finally get around to a conference committee for